Alexander McCall Smith stopped counting how many books he'd written after about 50 of them. More than half are children's books, and some of the rest are specialized legal treatises like The Forensic Aspects of Sleep. But the books that have made him famous are the series of the number one ladies' detective agency. Readers have gotten to know Precious Ramotswe and her friends in Botswana and her penchant for red bush tea and strong values. Now McCall Smith has turned his attention from Africa, where he was born, to Edinburgh, Scotland, where he grew up. He's created The Sunday Philosophy Club, a new book with a new sleuth. Alexander McCall Smith joins us from our New York bureau, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much indeed.
Tell us about Isabel Dalhousie, your new heroine.
Well, she's rather different from Mara Matsui in that she is a moral philosopher. Now, Mara Matsui, in her number one ladies' detective agency, certainly has views on philosophical matters, but they approached it in a rather different way. Mara Matsui works, I suppose, through intuition and practical wisdom, of which she has a great deal. Isabel Dalhousie is a very careful, cautious philosopher who thinks through all the implications of what she does and indeed of what she thinks.
Is that in a way perhaps too transparent to have a moral philosopher dealing with crime?
Well, I think that moral philosophers are quite good people to put on to various problems. Isabel isn't a terribly good detective. She tends not to be involved, I suppose, so much with crime, but with problems. I think the series is going to deal with people's problems, really, rather than with criminal offences. The idea of having a philosopher do that is quite an interesting one, and I thought that it would be nice to write about Scotland and about Edinburgh specifically. Edinburgh's a fascinating city, so I've postulated this very intelligent woman with quite a waspish sense of humour, and I'm having great fun with her.
And she is the editor of The Review of Applied Ethics.
That's right. She's independently wealthy. And, of course, it's quite handy for novelists to have characters who are independently wealthy, then, because you don't have to have them going off into the office, which could be a little bit dull for the readers. So she's got a bit of money, and she needs a bit of a job, so she has the small task of editing this review. And that, of course, means that she gets various papers on philosophical issues. Some of the papers deal with rather interesting moral quandaries, and Isabel discusses those with the readers.
Are there some dilemmas that you particularly want us, the readers, to be focusing on?
Well, I think there are some interesting ones which crop up in this first book, and one of them is one which I also deal with, I suppose, at some length in the Number One Ladies Detective Agency series. And that problem in particular, I suppose, is that of forgiveness. I think that's a very interesting philosophical issue. When do we forgive people? When do we draw a line in respect of what has happened in the past? When do we say that we need to abandon old business, that sort of thing? And in this new book, The Sunday Philosophy Club, Isabel encounters an issue of forgiveness in that she has to deal with something which has gone wrong, and somebody blames himself very much for that, and she looks at what actually happened and tries to ascertain just to what extent was there culpability involved in that.
I was wondering whether I could ask you to read from page 69 and tell us a bit about the moment that's happening there.
Isabel and her niece Kat are having a discussion. Isabel has seen a really rather distressing thing, which is a young man falling from the top gallery in a concert hall, and she has felt that she had to do something to find out what lay behind this event. And so they're discussing the whole issue of involvement in the problems and affairs of others. They'd argued about Isabel's inability to say no, which in Kat's view was the root of the problem. "You simply can't get drawn into other people's business like this," she'd protested, after Isabel had become involved in sorting out the problems of a hotel-owning family that was fighting over what to do with their business. But Isabel, who had regularly been taken for Sunday lunch in the hotel as a child, had considered that this gave her an interest in what happened to it, and had become sucked into an unpleasant boardroom battle. Kat had voiced the same concerns when it came to the unfortunate young man in the usher hall. "But this is my business," said Isabel. "I saw the whole thing, or most of it. I was the last person that young man saw. The last person. And don't you think that the last person you see on this earth owes you something?"
That, I think, really sort of summarizes Isabel's sense of moral obligation.
That's right. She feels that she has a fairly extensive moral obligation to other people, and she wrestles with the issue of how to control it. And indeed, that's one of the issues that this book, and I suppose the subsequent ones, will be about, is where we draw the line. Where do we draw the circle into which we place moral obligation?
Now, you, until recently, taught medical law at the University of Edinburgh.
That's right, yes.
Are these the kinds of dilemmas that you dealt with in the classroom?
To an extent. I suppose medical law took me into issues of responsibility. For example, in the Sunday Philosophy Club, there's quite an important discussion in which Isabel discusses the moral accountability of the sociopath or psychopath. And that raises rather interesting issues of determinism. To what extent is your character determined by the circumstances of your birth, your upbringing, etc., and to what extent is it a matter of choice? That's an interesting moral problem.
What is the purpose of the Sunday Philosophy Club? It, shall we say, does not seem to meet on a regular basis.
It never meets.
All right, I was going to say that, but I didn't want to give anything away. Why do we even have it?
Well, Isabel set it up with a number of friends. I suppose it's the philosophical equivalent of a book group. You wouldn't have a book to read. You would have a problem to discuss. And she sets this up, but the members have great difficulty in coordinating their diaries, and they never really meet. And in a sense, that is rather poignant, and there are certain poignancies in Isabel's situation, one of which is that her club never meets. And I think that's rather sad. Imagine being a person with a club, but your club never meets.
I just thought of it as poor scheduling. I didn't think of the deeper implications of what it meant for her life. I want to talk about plot, and I want to be careful. I don't want to give anything away, and I don't agree with the rather cranky reviewer who said he'd be happy to give away the ending, except there really isn't one. I thought that was harsh, but I think it's fair to say that you open a lot of doors you don't go through. Why? Why are we meeting a lot of people who, after we've finished, we may have enjoyed them, but they really haven't
done anything
in relation to the plot?
Well, that's, I think, because that's rather how life is. I think that we meet all sorts of people in life, and all sorts of things happen in life, little things, and then they don't go anywhere. And I think that it's perfectly reasonable for a novel to demonstrate this rather odd flow of things. My characters in my books often sit around and drink tea with one another, and there's no real agenda in the drinking of tea. It's just a contemplative, quiet moment. And I think people rather like that. That's what life is like.
I don't disagree at all. But the end, which I won't talk about, is almost breathtaking in speed compared to that pace.
Yes, it is, because I suppose sometimes things can suddenly come to a head. Everything's going along very smoothly, and then bang, something happens.
Your books really have taken off only in the last few years. How has the success, and the sudden success after years as a writer, how's it changed your life?
Well, I suppose it changes one's life in fairly obvious ways, in the sense that, firstly, you have the great pleasure of knowing that your books are being read by millions of people, and that is that's an immense privilege. You also find that there's a public interest in your private life, so to speak, in you. And I find it very unsettling. It's something that you, I suppose, get used to. A writer, obviously, is writing about the inner emotions and thoughts of people and their experiences, etc. And, of course, when you write a book and you publish it, you're saying, here is a world which I have created. Here are some characters which I've created. I've set them off. I'm exploring certain ideas. And one would want those to be considered on their own merits, without necessarily going too far behind to ask, well, why did you do this? What are you trying to do in writing? Well, I suppose particularly the question, what has brought you to write this? What has brought you to create this?
Alexander McCall Smith's latest crime novel is The Sunday Philosophy Club, published by Pantheon Books. He joined us from our New York bureau. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much indeed.